dropping out of the picture. Soon be time to move. Hasn't been a real big day, but I don't have a thing to prove. I've still got the old nose rider. I still surf old style. I'll go out beyond the breakers, sit alone and rest a while. There's nothing that I wanna do, no place I'm trying to reach. Only time is now more precious too. The oldest surfer on the beach, the oldest surfer on the beach.
Wow, we're back with another episode today, a joint episode, if you will. We lost a big one, boys, and today we're going to celebrate some of the memories, music of one of our favorites, Jimmy Buffett. Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy podcast and the Songlines and Tan Lines podcast. Super somber for the past 24 hours, at best, at worst, I should say. Guys, I know it's been a tough one for all of you. I know, Chris, you shocked us with the news early yesterday morning.
Yeah, thank you for that, Chris.
And you're very welcome. Well, dude, I mean, we would have seen it anyway, but wow, what a horrible way to start our Labor Day weekend this year. Man, guys, it's hard to think of a place to start. And Anthony, I can only imagine with you, what you've been going through in the thoughts, because I know how much he means to you. I know how much you loved him, his music, and what he's done for you. At the same time, Chris, same with you. I know the same thing with you, guys. I mean, it's a free flow discussion. We're going to celebrate his life this morning for at least a little, a few minutes here, just discuss some stuff. Talk to us, Anthony. What's going on over there?
Now, I was just going to say that, this is what I wrote on my Instagram page yesterday. I'm going to try and get through this today. I can't believe it just, I don't know. I can't even do it. Fuck it. I can't do it right now. Just keep talking.
It strikes me, we've lost a lot of people. This one is big. And I don't mean to like belittle other people's lives. I mean, when Eddie Van Halen died, it was a hit.
It was big.
Because, I grew up listening to Van Halen and I knew I'd never get to see them again. I mean, at the end of the day, that's part of it. We love going to these concerts and seeing these guys and, Taylor Hawkins, I enjoy the Foo Fighters, but it's not the same, man. This one hits different. We grew up going to these shows in our 20s, in the prime of our life, hitting these every year we'd go see these guys, or this, Jimmy. And there's some memories there, man. It's like stitched into the fabric of our youth, basically, for lack of a better term. I can tell a story that I can remember. Anthony is such a fan, and I can remember there's a stint there we lived together down in Greensboro. We went to this. I'm almost ashamed to say this because it was such a terrible, I shouldn't say life decision, but it was a complete waste of time. We went to this. We had this idea we might be travel agents when we were in our early 20s, and we went to this Lucas Travel School in Greensboro. Nothing but a scam, basically. I mean, it did nothing for either one of us.
It got you to the hotel, at least.
I don't know if it did.
But the hotel got us some travel. Some hotels.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I guess I shouldn't.
It did get us a little bit of something.
So that summer we lived there, I can remember Anthony. There was this Jimmy Buffett song on the Arachnophobia soundtrack, and he'd never heard it. And back then, you can just turn on Spotify or YouTube or whatever and find it, man. So he's like killing him. So we would go, we hit every record store in a triad trying to find this Arachnophobia soundtrack. And he finally found it one day. I'll never forget how happy he was about
it. Just one song.
Yeah. You remember the song? I don't even know what the song was.
Yeah, Don't Bug Me.
Of course it was.
Don't bug me. Don't squish me. Don't dead wish me. It says stuff like that in it. It's for the arachnophobia movie with John Goodman.
Of course. Yeah.
It's perfect.
But, you know, that's just it really, man. And I can, you know, there was like a time, I'll never forget one month, because, you know, we were staying in an apartment. I didn't have enough money for, I guess I did. I probably could have had to go into the ATM or something, but we split rent. And Anthony is like, I had a Buffett CD that he hadn't acquired yet. And he's like, hey, just give me that and we'll call it good. I mean, that was, we bartered with the Buffett albums on paying rent, you know. I mean, yeah. It's just times like that, man. I mean, Buffett was absolutely a part of our youth. One of the biggest musicians is a part of our youth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fond memories, man. I mean, that's kind of the way I look back at it.
Yeah, it's one of the big ones. You know, it's one of the big losses for me personally, you know. Yeah. There's a lot of entertainers out there that when they go, I'm gonna be very sad to see. But Buffett was probably, he was top, you know, yeah. through everything that I've been through in life. You know, he's he's been there.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
No, I get it, man. Yeah, dude, he has. He's a big deal.
I tell you, yesterday. It didn't hit me yesterday until, I don't know, I came downstairs. You guys know I've got a small vinyl collection, and I was able to get a handful of Buffett albums over the years. They don't press them anymore, just his newer stuff. So it's all, you know, re-releases, or it's all old stuff from the 70s that I've got. And I've only got a few. But I listened to A1A first thing, because as we've all discussed, I know it's my favorite album. Chris, I'm pretty sure it's your favorite album. And I know, Anthony, it's one of your favorites for sure. And it was the root of my Jimmy Buffett fandom. It's where I basically got firm. Don't get me wrong, I jumped on board on Fruitcakes. But when I bought, the very next record I bought was A1A. And on CD, I should say, on CD. And that was the one I wanted the most on vinyl once I started getting some vinyl albums. I listened to it yesterday, and, you know, I was happy-go-lucky. And then yesterday afternoon, I had to run down to Bristol, and I was listening to Buffett, and I don't know what happened, but something kicked in. I got tons of memories, and it took me back to my 20s and all the bad decisions we've made and all the fun decisions we made. And it really became like a sour, sour feeling in my stomach, knowing that, you know, I can't do it again. I have the memories. I made a huge mistake by not taking my kids last year, even though I asked Noelle and my daughter if she wanted to go, and Chase would have gone. I'm sure he would have gone, but Noelle was like, no, you know, I don't think I want to go. I'm like, all right. They'll never experience the way we experienced it as a young adult and as a full-fledged father. They'll never experience this feeling of going and seeing all this happiness and this joy that this one man could bring to communities night after night. And I mean, it was just gut-wrenching thinking about it. I'm like, God, I'll never get to see him again. But thankfully I did. And it's thankful for you guys, because I was full-fledged metalhead whenever you pushed me this way. And 90s country, don't get me wrong, I was 90s country and full-head metalhead at the time. I mean, guys, I was following Metallica as much as anything else at the time, and Jimmy Buffett came in, and all of a sudden, I dove in head first, you know, and I can't remember if we discussed this on that last podcast, but I think my 10th show was last year. That was my 10th show.
I didn't make it I know to 10, man.
You made it to 9. Chris, I think you probably made it more than I have, because I know you took honestly, Gina to a couple shows, didn't you?
I'm ashamed to say this. I've never kept count. I'm going to assume it's around 10. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, how many times did I actually see him? And I'd say it's probably a little over 10, maybe. I don't know. But definitely, I remember several times in the Carolinas. Saw him in Atlanta once. Me and Anthony saw him in Knoxville one time, probably the worst episode of that we've ever been to, just due to the crowd, not
Charlotte.
Yeah, I've seen Charlotte multiple times.
I'm looking through it, and my first live show was May 31st, 1995 in Raleigh. That was my first show. Yeah. And then it's crazy. Not only did I see him on May 31st that year, we saw him on June 3rd too. Do you remember this?
Back when he used to play multiple nights in a row.
Yes, we literally, I looked through the years and I'm thinking to myself.
Oh, we went to Charlotte the next week and saw him, right?
On June 20th, we saw him in Charlotte the following year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we saw him in Raleigh on August 7th that year. I mean, like, it was May 31st, 95, June 3rd, 95, June 20th, 96, August 7th, 96, June 16th, 97, June 1st, 99. June 15th, 99. July 10th, 99.
I'm not sure how you have all these dates etched in your memory. But
no, I didn't. I just went through. I was pulling up these things off set list a lot. I just, back when we were doing that, you know, when we did some Buffett stuff with Anthony and a collab with his, and I was, you know, was trying to remember these shows. Well, yesterday it mattered because I was trying to remember all the old ones I saw, what made me. And,
I hate myself for not seeing him more. You know, there's a lot of people that can say, well, we live in Canada, we live here, and he doesn't come around. And he came to my backyard so many times. And 2002 and 2011, after the 90s, is the last two times I saw him. And I'm disappointed in myself as a fan. But at the same time, you know, life happens. You know, I got married in 2006.
It does, man. It does.
I got kids in 2012, and you know, life happens, and you just get kind of caught up in the process of life, and things like concerts don't mean as much, and they don't do as much for you, and you feel like you take you more out of your routine, and you're tired of being, as a parent, you're always tired, and you just don't feel like being out all night anymore, and that's probably why I didn't go to a lot of his shows. And you guys are in Virginia, so the guys I would go to the concert with are not down here with me. It's hard for you guys to get down here, you know, and it just, a lot of things had to fall in place, you know, and where I run the house, you know, if I'm not here, it can still run, but theoretically everybody comes to me like, what's the schedule here? What's the schedule here? What are the kids doing here? You know, that, so it's harder for me to get away as the kids came along. So that's another reason why I didn't get to see him as much, unfortunately. So,
yeah.
It's not a great excuse, but I mean, it's, I think any parent would understand.
Nah, dude.
Life does happen. And, you know, we're not 20-year-old kids anymore. We can't just say, let's drive to, you know, 8 hours away, go watch a concert. You know, I mean, that's just facts.
And I remember the main reason why I think we were able to pull this off as much as we did, besides my mom buying tickets, was because you had the discounts to the hotels, Chris.
Oh yeah,
a lot of the time.
I did work in a hotel.
We were staying at places. We were staying at decent places for like $20, $25 a night, $30 a night. You know, and when you split that three, four ways,
that's how we got down to Pensacola and down to those places. Me and Chris together using those discounts, man.
Destin, yeah, and yes, for those that don't know, I worked at a Holiday Inn Express in my mid-20s, about 5 years there, and. And not only did I get discounts there, $15 a night, any Holiday Inn in the country.
Yeah. Wow. Geez.
But there were also this management group that owned our hotel, owned like 50 other hotels, and I could stay at those for sometimes free, sometimes $25. So like, I mean, I remember we stayed at a Homewood Suites down there in Raleigh for those shows, and it was like those $25
awesome.
A night. Man.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. We basically had like 10 people in there 1 year.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy.
We'd cram it full of people, and
yeah,
that's good times, man, for sure.
I wonder if we ought to see if we can get my brother to Skype in. I don't think he's going to be able to do. Maybe we could just kind of have a few moments with him through Skype, and then we can jump back there.
No, that's absolutely. Bring him on.
So I'm going to see if I can call, man, if you want to. Quick, so
yeah, and we can start playing some music. He actually had a song. We've all picked songs tonight. I don't know really.
Meaning
these songs, they're not really our favorite songs, maybe, but like they're songs that mean something to us, and we think maybe are fitting for this episode.
Why don't you go ahead and play "Distantly in Love"? If you can, you do that?
Yeah, I can.
This wow. is, this wow, is, is this song. Your favorite, Anthony?
No, this it's is, for, this is for Matt.
Yeah, his brother asked to play this.
Honestly,
song.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Actually, Jimmy had said. Pull that one for me initially, and I was like, well, you got any others you want to take? You may go ahead and play it. Anthony, are you going to talk to Matt?
Yeah, go ahead and pull
go
it.
Go ahead. I'm going to try and Skype in right quick.
I heard it from a friend of ours I saw in Timber Bay. You had a new lover who had stolen you away. That could be the reason that I never got in touch. If he presents like problems, if he loves you half as much, it's I who can't help but be ruled by my antiquities. Not unique, just this to be in love. You know I can't help but be part of my own philosophies. Not unique, just this to be in love.
Distantly Love, that's the one he picked when I asked him what he would want to play. And when I did the song thing, it was like, if it's the first song that pops in your head, I was like, that's got to be the song that you want played because that's the one that stands out to you the most for some reason. And I know he's a big fan of the album Hot Water, which a lot of people are not. And I was always a big fan of Hot Water too. So a very underrated album.
Wow.
So he and I both really like that album together. So.
You're not going to bait me today, man. I'm not going to bash anything up.
Yeah, I'm not going to slam it either, buddy. I mean, we all know it's one of his lesser
famous
ones from the
80s. I heard somewhere that Jimmy was trying to do like a soul album or something when he did that album.
Really?
I heard something like that. I think that was the album. He was trying to do something more soulful. So,
you know, something I do think is very, very underrated. I've heard you say it's one of your favorites too, is Florida's. That album is fantastic.
That's actually fantastic.
I love
album.
That album.
That's probably my
Anthony,
number one.
You're the reason I even go back. You started pushing it years ago toward us, and I'm like, what is it you like about this? I've got to understand why you love this
album.
And sure enough, it has creeped up my list as well. I mean, honestly, I would almost put that as one of my top five. It's definitely top 10, maybe top five at this point in my life. And I'm a primary 70s guy for the most part with a handful of other, you know, with a couple albums here and there.
70s and 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, 80s stuff is for sure. But Florida's is absolutely a crucially fantastic and underrated. Maybe it is underrated. I don't know. But
it's probably
it's an awesome
about
album.
Riddles Down is where I think most people.
Man,
probably
Riddles
stick,
is such a good album. Oh my god!
Riddles Forward, I think people have a tendency to leave off at that point in time for some reason.
They're missing out if they leave off the stuff from Fruit. He had that trilogy in the 90s with Fruitcakes and Banana Wind and Barometer Soup, which is my years. That's what I call my years because that's when I joined that party,
right?
And it honestly made me regret not being part of that earlier in life, and it's a shame.
Buffett was born in 46, and when we got in on his music, he was only in his
40s.
So, I mean, he was still in the prime, too, you know. I mean, so
he was
at the time.
that's one thing, Anthony. I know you've talked to this Adam and some of these other younger guys that are Buffett fans. I feel a little sympathy for them because they really never got to see him full of youth and just energy and
right.
And like really, I mean, I'm thankful for that because those shows, like you said, Jimmy, those Fruitcakes, Barometer Soup, Banana Wind, those albums, those tours, he was in his 40s and he was just full of energy, man. It was a great time to see him. So
well, like the Adam from Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast, which is a good Jimmy Buffett podcast. You'll want to listen to something this weekend. I texted him yesterday and, you know, he just sent back with a broken heart. That's all he sent me back. And he said if Adam listens to this, I hope I got it right. I think he said he got into Buffett around 2017. So if you think about where he is in his journey with Jimmy Buffett, it was about where we were in the 90s. So you imagine what it'd be like for us.
It's probably
Buffett
not some. Right. It's probably not something you're going to listen to when you're a teenager. You know, I mean, it's more mature music than that. And it's something that. I get why it, you know, if just whatever your age is, like if you find it in your, when you're in your 20s, like when you get more mature and more of an adult, you're going to understand it better.
So
that's
he was at that stage where we were in the 90s where he was just all in, which we all are still all in, but you're really all in when you first discover his music and you go into every concert you can find. And so he's at that stage right now. And it's just like kind of sad to think that he can't continue that stage further.
Got the rug pulled out, didn't he?
Yeah. At least we got our time and place, and we had our chances a lot more, you know, than most people did. So,
I've got a couple of stories. I'm going to tell y'all something that I just I remembered. When I was in high school, one of my girlfriends in high school, she was already a Buffett fan to an extent, and had a the greatest hits by him, the Yellow Album.
And who are we talking about here? You're not saying.
Well, I mean, you guys know who it is. It's who I dated the longest in high school.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. She had that Buffett greatest hits album. That's the only one she had, and that's really all you had to have. I just wasn't into it, you know. And one of the guys that lived in my neighborhood, Jonathan Sword. I don't know if you guys remember him at all. He was a partier. Don't get me wrong. He loved it back in those days. Of course, we all drank. You know, hung around. It was different times. But he tried to push that album on me, and I was like, I'm out, dude. This is not for me. This is not my jam. Mm-hmm. And I had that stuff pushed to me up to a point where I was like, I just kept resisting. I resisted a lot of stuff. And then thankfully you, Chris, brought some of that stuff to me. And I remember the notes when we did this, the A1A stuff, you know, a few years back, whenever it was. I pulled them up and I said, this is what I quoted. I said, prior to listening, giving this album A1A a listen, in my mind, I felt like Jimmy Buffett was just the cheeseburger in paradise guy. I could care less about him. I didn't care anything for the song. And when I got that CD, I was overwhelmed with appreciation because I had misjudged him for one song. One song made me put him in a category that he was not.
Yeah.
He was not part of that. He wasn't, by no means, he was not a sellout at the time. He was not a sellout in any form or fashion. He was just a guy having fun out the road, just putting on a show night after night. And I went back and listened to his singer-songwriter years. And it's a shame that Nashville turned their nose up to him from the 70s. Imagine if he'd had a little bit of support from a record label, how big he could have gotten.
Dude, he wound up at the lane he was meant to be in, I think.
I agree.
I'm glad he didn't.
Thank God, because he ended up in Florida.
He is big in to us. He's big to a lot of people, not just us. A lot of people like us. Right, a lot of Gen Xers, a lot of boomers. We know him. And we don't have to have 1,000 radio hits to know him. So
that's the thing. What gets me is that when I keep seeing the clips, it's always the Margaritaville guy. It's the cheeseburger guy. Somebody finally mentioned Come Monday yesterday, and I was like, finally, somebody mentioned Come Monday. You know,
great song, dude.
Somebody finally mentioned Changes. Like, finally, you're getting some of his other songs in there. But the funny thing was, when you're watching some of these interviews, these people talk about Buffett's passing, everybody's seen him. I don't know many artists that you can say, like, oh, yeah, I've been to a Buffett show once. I went to a Buffett show once. Everybody had been at least one Buffett show that they were talking about him. I can't tell you most of the bands out there, you'd say maybe Bruce Springsteen, maybe, but other bands, it's like, can you think of a band that would maybe that many people would have seen him in so many random circles? It's crazy, you know?
Dude, it is crazy. I don't know.
It's just
maybe Metallica, because they got so famous. I mean, when Taylor Swift talked about Metallica shows, that's a different story. That's a whole different crowd, guys.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, Taylor Swift's crowds are pretty rapid.
That's a different crowd. I mean, and you got people that are just, that's crazy. Man, but Buffett, he ties so much together.
Yeah.
Jimmy, tell us your song, man. What's your song, and why is it important to you that we're going to play right now?
All right, so my song comes from A1A, and as I stated many, many times, it's my favorite Buffett album. And the reason why this song means so much to me is because at this time in my life, I was in the middle of trying to learn acoustic guitar, learning guitar, and Buffett is an acoustic guitar master. He strums so well. He picks so well. He turns folk songs and, you know, I don't want to say country songs, but dare I use another term, country songs, into these just glorious chords that turn into something that is so memorable. And my song is Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season. And I don't know what it was, but the first time I heard it, it almost brings a tear to my eye when I thought about it, because that's when I think of this album, I know all these songs, and Pirate was going to be possibly one of my choices, because when I first got into Buffett, I was like, man, I don't even want to think about being 40 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that song is so good too. I was torn between those two songs because those two probably mean the most to me out of all of the Buffett catalog. And there's a lot of them that mean a lot to me, but it's this album. It's Trying to Reason. And that's where I am. I love that song. And every time I hear it, I just think about the struggle he must have had down in Key West whenever storms are coming in every season.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Squalls out on the Gulf Stream, big storms coming soon. I passed out in my hammock and got a slept away past noon. Stood up and tried to focus, I hoped I wouldn't have to look far. I knew I could use a Bloody Mary, so I stumbled next door to the bar. And now I must confess, I could use some rest. I can't run at this pace very long. Yes, it's quite insane, I think it hurts my brain, but it cleans. There's something about this Sunday, it's a most peculiar.
Dude, this Sunday has a most peculiar gray feeling to it. Guys, that the second side of this album obviously is the beginning of the Key West adventure. The changing of his tonality, the changing to the sea life, to the sea music, the music that his soul really poured out to us throughout the remainder of his career for that part or for that much. Man, does that not just put you thinking about sitting on the beach just watching a storm go across the ocean?
It really does, man.
Definitely puts you in a place for sure, man.
Yeah. And being in Key West and get to go to the place that he's talking about in those songs.
You know, what's ironic about it is it's seeing crazy. Him perform this acoustically is so much better. And this is a great, great version, but to see him perform this acoustically is just awesome. There's it's nothing. Him and a guitar, it's so it. Personal. Yeah, yeah. It's so personal. And it's a song that's really stuck with me over the years, and I love every single second of it. Man. Chris, what was yours? I know you've got a thought, a song on your mind. Go ahead.
Well, so probably this isn't my favorite Buffett song. And if I'm being honest, A1A is my favorite album, but you guys both kind of played in the same sandbox with your song, so I thought I'd branch out a little bit. And this song means a lot to me because I'll just read my notes here. In June the 3rd of 1994, Anthony took me to my first Buffett show. Anthony's mom stood in line at a record store and won a lottery and got us Gold Circle tickets at the Hardee's Walnut Creek Amphitheater in Raleigh. And we were right on the aisle, so no blocked view. It was amazing how good those seats were. I remember this concert starting up. You just hear this, this samba coming and all these like dancers coming down the aisle. And I was just like, what the hell is this? I was like, at the time, and everybody's just up dancing and having a blast. And it stuck me like, wow, this is a totally unique experience. I've never seen anything like this. And just seeing the mood everybody's in, you know, it was just like, I got it then. I was like, I've heard of this guy. I really didn't know any of his, I mean, I knew a few songs, probably knew Margaritaville Come Monday. But I didn't know the music at the time. I just was along for the ride. And, by June the 3rd, ironically, of 1995, when we went to see him on the Domino College tour, I knew every damn song on the set list. So that in 1 year's time.
That's all
right, there it is. But this was the first song he played that night. It's what introduced me to him. So Fruitcakes is my song.
Chicken, big life with the quick, the secrets. street, strutting naked through the crosswalk in the middle of the week. Half-baked cookies in the oven, half-baked apple on the bus. There's a little bit of fruitcake left in every one of us. Speaking of fruitcakes, how about the government? Your tax dollars.
Such a good song, man. That's a great one. It may, I mean, it just makes me smile when I hear it.
Yeah.
Every time. Every time.
I guess doing the math, I was 22 years old when we went to see him the first time. So that was, you know, that's yeah. a good time to get into it, man. It really is. We were in a youth. He was in his youth. It's just a great show. And one more thing, you know, I was out mowing the grass last night, and I just needed to listen to some Buffett. Honestly, I mean, it kind of needed it. It really didn't need it that bad. We've been battling COVID at my house. Everybody's pretty much over. We're still under quarantine. And I was getting stir crazy. I just need to get out and watch college football. There was no good game on in the afternoon that I wanted to watch. So I went ahead and put my earbuds in, listened to a live Buffett album. It was from Cincinnati in 2004. And it's just, man, there's magic to his live stuff. You can listen to you know, the studio albums, and they're great. They are, the songs are there, they're fantastic, but something about a live show, he turned himself on during a show. Like he was a master at working a crowd. I think that can't be understated, and he just got everybody into it. I mean, there's very few people out there, I think, that are that talented. Maybe it's where he did it 50 years. I don't know. Maybe he was just good at.
He was that way even in Key West.
He was. He was from long ago, he was. You're right. But just some people know how to work a crowd and get everybody into it. And, man, the guy was a master at that. And the live shows, I mean, that first live show, one song in, I knew. I was like, I got to get into this guy because it's amazing. It really is.
Chris, I got to say this. The first, I've got the set list for the first show I went to that you took me to. And Anthony, I think you were there too, if I'm not mistaken. This was the May 31st, 1995. This is the set list. And I remember one specific spot in this show, early in the show, that you went nuts, Chris. All right, you went absolutely, don't get me wrong, we were probably all drunk, but you absolutely went crazy on this. Now, you'll tell me when when you did it, but he opened the show with Domino College. Obviously, this is a tour. And then he played Making Music for Money, which was absolutely fantastic, if you guys remember that. Then he played Volcano. Then sure. Don't You Know, which was a little bit newer song at the time. Then he played Manana.
That would be it right there.
That was yeah. it.
That's Chris, one of my favorites by
that's
him.
That's one of my big Chris memories.
You basically
right there,
went nuts when he played. Then he went into Cheeseburger, then played Diamond As Big As a Ritz, then Changes, Growing Older But Not Up, Come Monday, Why Don't We Get Drunk, One Particular Harbor, then Fins, then Banana Republics, which was one of my favorite songs at the time. And then he played A Pirate, which was obviously one of my favorite songs. And then, Anthony, this one's for you, Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street exactly. was after that. Gypsies in the Palace, which is an underrated song. I don't care what anybody says.
That's fantastic.
Such a great song.
You know, that album, Last Mingo in Paris, is probably a very underrated
album. That's a great album, too. Yeah, you're right. You know, those are all classic. Then he played the Crowd Pleaser, Margaritaville, and then We Are the People. And then and the encore, that was his last song he plays, We Are the People. And then he came out in encore, Fruitcakes, Brown Eye Girl. And then he came back out for another encore with 12 Volt Man.
Yeah,
that's a good show. And that was my first taste of him live.
Well, you know,
and so many good songs that night.
That two encores. And by the way, he did that on the Fruitcakes tour, too. I was looking at the set list on that.
It's amazing, guys.
And, you know, one year apart, but pretty different set lists. Let me read you this one.
Go ahead.
Opens with Fruitcakes, Boat Drinks, Changes in Latitudes, Volcano, Six String Music, Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost. Underrated song. Love that. Cheeseburger, Criolla. Son of a Sailor, Why Don't We Get Drunk? I mean, I'm kind of glad he worked that one off a set list, honestly. Like, yeah.
He did.
And it was another one like Cheeseburger that people just like, oh, he's just some, you know, party guy. That's, I mean, and that was the one that got out there. Let's see. What we Pan Classic and B Minor. I don't know exactly. I don't remember that one.
Michael Utley and probably Robert Greenwich.
That's an interlude. Yeah, that's
it's
an interlude song.
They did that on Margaritaville Late Night Cafe, I think, is where they did that one.
Frank and Lola, Distantly in Love, Pirate looks at 40. It says Jimmy and Pete last played. I wonder what that means. Pete Mayer, was he playing with him on that song? Okay. Knees of My Heart, Ragtop Day, Apocalypso, One Particular Harbor, Uncle John's Band, which was an amazing cover.
Song.
Finn's first encore, Finn's Margaritaville, and the second encore come Monday. So, like, he was playing probably well over 2 hours, and he was giving us two encores on those tours back then, too. So, man, it's pretty amazing, honestly.
It really is, man. It's I don't know. But
all right, Anthony, you want to set up your song, or you just want me to play it one of the two?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and read my brother's stuff before I...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
In case, God, if something happens with Skype. You know, I don't trust the internet much anymore. I'm getting like an old man screaming at the internet. You're ready, old internet! You know, but my brother said, it's hard to put into words. I just always associated Buffett and his music with good times and good friends. The music itself was good enough, but the fact that it was like the perfect backdrop for times and moments that you look back on with fondness, good memories, it makes it more special because of that connection. Plus the live shows too, which were always kind of a celebration of the spirit of music. Just a lot of good memories combined with good music. I could say more, but it would just be elaborating on those key points above. I'm sure you guys understand what I mean. And then he put a little note here that I remember that time in the bar at Radford when the waiter said they had Añejo tequila and we all broke into an impromptu rendition of Cuban Crime of Passion. He said, ask Chris if he remembers that.
I definitely do.
I remember us getting so drunk, passing that Añejo around and screaming that song out top of our lungs, man.
That was a rough night. I do remember that.
Yeah, so that's what my brother had to say. And I really hate he couldn't get on because if I had to... The older brother is supposed to get the younger brother into music, but he got me into Buffett. If I had to be honest, he was the one that really, I guess, put us all into Buffett, if you think about it, because of me, you guys got into
domino
it,
so. Effect, yeah.
And
yeah.
Refresh my memory. Didn't you say he checked out an album at the library or
my
something?
My memory is fuzzy that he came home. He didn't remember it as well as I did, but he came home like from the library. Back in the day, you could check out records and videotape, all kinds of crazy stuff at the library. And he came home with an album. I think it was probably, you know, the one with West Nashville, which is the drawing a blank this morning.
White
Sport Coat.
White Sport Coat, yeah.
West Nashville on it. And I heard that song, fell in love with that song, but he got the album because he had this album and another album and he knew like Margaritaville or Come Monday, something like that. And he just wanted to check it out. And so he brought it home, and then I heard West Nashville, like I've told on the podcast numerous times, and heard that F-bomb, and I was like, all right, this guy's playing on a different level, you know? I'm just like...
That was surprising to hear that.
Well, it is, because you hear this guy, and you're like, he's just a soft rock crooner, you know, with Come Monday and Margaritaville, and then also you hear, like, but he's got a little edge to him. Let me dive a little deeper into his music and see what he's got going on. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, yeah, he's got the soft rock crooner side, but then he's also got, like, this... little saltier side too that I like about him, you know, that like one going crazy on Caroline Street talking about a girl showing her a treat from underneath the table, for goodness sakes, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. But he made it so poetic that you were like, that's perfect. It's raw, it's raunchy, but it's perfect at the same time. I want my kids to hear it, but it's perfect. But anyways, man, yeah, the song I wanted to, it pops into my head. One We Going Crazy on Caroline Street has been my big one for a bit. West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown has always been at the very top of that list, too. But the song that has really risen to the top is Tin Cup Chalice. And I hate to be that A1A guy, that Tin Cup Chalice guy. I hate to be that because I opened the show with Oldest Surfer on the Beach to show you that I've got some cred. I know what I'm talking about. But when I went to Key West for the first time, and hopefully not my last time, Tin Cup Chalice is just perfectly Key West in a song. And it brings back great memories that my wife loved going to Key West. She's not a Buffett fan at all. In fact, yesterday, I think she halftime thought I was crazy for the way I was acting with most stuff, you know, wanting me to be more into the day than checking out as much as I was. But she didn't get it. I get it. I understand that. But she loved Key West. She wants to get back, and she hates hot weather. So there's a magic to that town that just sucks you in when you get there. And Buffett summed it up perfectly in Tin Cup Chalice. And every time I hear that song now, I'm forever going to think of that trip. I'm going to think of Key West. I'm going to think of her. It's just a perfect song. And it might be my number one now. So anyways, that's why I want to play Tin Cup Chalice.
Give me oysters and beer for dinner every day of the year, and I'll be fine. I feel fine. I wanna be there. Wanna go back down and lie beside the sea there with a tin cup for a chat.
You can see the sunset anywhere in Key West, and it's beautiful. You don't have to go to Mallory Square. In fact, if you go to Key West, go to Mallory one time, find other spots when you go the other nights, because Mallory Square is crazy with people. So, that's what Jimmy said he wrote that song for, is about seeing that sunset at Mallory Square for the first time and just kind of hitting that magic, you know. And
Anthony, obviously, it's a fabulous song. You know, the good thing about that song, it's one of my favorites as well. Obviously, the whole album, but it's the last song I got to see him perform live.
Yeah, he closed that last show. He went with that acoustically all by himself.
Yeah, he just came out and said goodbye to everybody. It was awesome.
Yeah,
never thought it was going to be the last time I'd seen, but it was.
I did.
It was. Well,
I knew it was my last time I'd seen him. I don't know why. I just in my gut.
Well, we said it as soon as we walked out that night, as we were driving off.
Yeah.
This will be our last Buffett show.
I hate I didn't go. I think, like I said, it's just hard for me to get away these days. It really is. You know,
I want to say he was kind of slipping during some of these shows, wasn't he? He was having a few missteps, and like it was just kind of like, I'm not sure. I didn't think he was going to die. I just thought
his coordination
might quit touring for a while. Yeah, it's like the touring days are almost behind him. So,
yeah, I thought we'd at least get. You know, I think the biggest shock about yesterday was that I thought we'd at least get some one-offs from time to time. You know, I thought maybe he'd sell off a little bit, but then he'd come back occasionally and sell off, you know, come back and maybe another 10 years tops. I could see him go to 80, 85. He seemed like that kind of entertainer with the music he does, limited space. He could probably make it another 10 years by just hopping in to various places, you know, maybe four or five, six concerts a year, and that's about it. Maybe smaller shows, maybe not as long, but I could have seen him doing it for a little while longer, but. Alas, it won't happen. So, you know, I did have a few questions I was going to throw out just to kind of try not to make it so somber today. I was trying not to make it too somber today because, you know, I don't want it to be real somber, but it's hard not to be a little bit, you know, in a situation.
It is, but I'll tell you, man, and maybe it's just the way I'm wired. And maybe it's because, you know, I didn't personally know him. He wasn't in my life daily or anything, but, it's almost like I listen to this stuff and it's a shock right off the bat. And it's just like, I'm just appreciative, man. The fact that we get to listen to this music the rest of our lives, and there's a ton of it, 50 years worth of it. That's the thing about Buffett that like, and I think that's probably, I like to think, you know, if people, when I die one day and people look back at my life, if there's things that they can have fond memories of and keep them going at times, and which we have so many fond memories because of this guy, man. Then he's done his job and he's done a great job with it. So like, it's sad knowing that we'll never see him in concert again, but he's left us so many good memories. He's done his job for us, man. I mean, he really has. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not going to miss it going to these shows and everything, but I do think like I look almost immediately start looking fondly at stuff, not like, not with a sad tone. I don't know. That's maybe just the way I'm wired.
No, dude, that's the great way to look at it. It's just that sometimes, like, music is my life. I love music in general. No, and
I get it.
Sometimes these artists, when they pass away, it absolutely crushes me. Eddie Van Halen was probably one of the toughest pills to swallow for me because, man, he was just young. I didn't think he was that old. You know, nobody expects anybody to go in their 60s. You know what I'm saying?
And it, you look at Jimmy's life on top of it. He lived a great life, man. I mean, when you see a young guy die that like is right in the middle of his life, Jimmy lived a great life, man. I don't think anybody would ever deny that. And he probably himself would be like, man, it's my time. I've had a great life, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I was thinking about that yesterday that, you know, at least we got 50 good years of music. You know, I mean, some of these artists, you only get a couple years, you know, a couple albums, you know, and you always wonder what if. But at least with Jimmy, you know, you still want another album or two by him. But he probably only had a couple more albums in him before he officially called it a day. And, you know, so he did really, I think, really kind of reach the end in a perfect way in a lot of ways. I think, you know, he's got one more album coming out. And I guarantee there's probably going to be some a little B-side stuff coming out too eventually.
He was an artist. So. Yeah. There's no doubt there's going to be music that's released over the years with him. I hope.
I really hope those Key West shows. I was listening to a bit of those on Radio Margaritaville yesterday.
He needs to release those. Absolutely.
Like I was telling Chris, the ones he did earlier in this year.
Yeah.
And looking now, knowing what happened a couple of days ago, there's a finality in those concerts that you can hear now. And you can tell that he knew something was around the bend. He really did. And the stories he's given you, some stories I, as a fan, a lifelong fan, have never heard before. Stories of how these songs came to be. And you could just tell that he's almost like saying, this is my last will and testament to the crowd.
He's giving away his secret formula. Yeah.
He's like, this is y'all's will. This is what y'all get to carry on. As after I'm gone, this is my memories to you of these songs. And that's kind of what I take from it. You know, his family's got his own personal memories, but I think he gave this one to the fans to kind of, you know, see, like he played the entire White Sportcoat album, I think, in its entirety throughout that concert. So songs he never plays live before. So, but anyways.
Or hadn't played in years,
Hadn't played in years. A few songs probably you never played before. Got to hear a good story about Railroad Lady, which is one of my favorites, and how him and Jerry Jeff Walker they co-wrote it together on a train. And he told Jerry Jeff was like, why do I have a writing credit? And he's like, because you wrote part of this song. He's like, oh, I did? That's kind of cool. So for some reason, Jerry Jeff didn't remember writing part of Railroad
didn't
Lady.
Didn't realize it.
But then Railroad Lady got taken up by Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson. A lot of other people covered that song. So, I mean, it was a big song for him, so.
You know, I was going, you know, listening to Radio Margaritaville last night, and they were telling a story about how he wrote Margaritaville while he was stuck on 7 Mile Bridge in a traffic jam for like 2 hours. There was a vehicle.
He finished it on that one, I think.
Yeah, he finished it, and he drove to Key West that night and played in the club. I guess he was telling the story. Actually, it was an interview with him, and he was saying, I played in the club that night, and everybody was like, that's a great song. You going to play that again? And then he was like, really? Y'all like that one? He didn't even know it was a hit, you know? So isn't it crazy how things like that can happen? If he hadn't gotten stuck in that traffic jam, he may never finish that song, you know? I mean, it's insane.
It's weird, just synchronicities in life. Like I was telling you with the fact that he died on Labor Day weekend, and his first big song was Come Monday that mentions Labor Day weekend. I mean,
I was thinking the same thing.
That's a weird synchronicity, you know, like just weird how things sync up like that sometimes. Or I see synchronicities in everything. I'm one of those people. But like I said, he died at the end of summer. Technically, Labor Day weekend is the end of summer.
True.
And the guy who gave us an eternal summer actually died at the end of what we consider the end of summer, Labor Day weekend. And he died on a Friday, which forced us to listen to his music throughout the weekend. And how many weekends have been filled with Jimmy Buffett music? You know, I mean, it's so, things line up so weird sometimes, you know, that we can actually enjoy him because nobody has to work this weekend. We can all enjoy him for 3 straight days. It's just weird how life sometimes just, you know, puts a button on it like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, man. Jeez.
But I was going to ask a couple of questions. We kind of got into them already. Yeah. Like, you know, favorite album. One that jumped off at you. What do you think your favorite album is? If you had to pick one album.
I hate to be that guy, but it obviously is A1A for me. And I mean, it's the one that got me into it. It's the one that really got me hooked. But here's the thing. A1A is an A+ for me. But there are a lot of other like A's as well. And that's kind of like, you know, I think, Havana Daydream and White Sport Coat, Son of a Son, Changes and Latitudes. I mean, a lot of those 70s albums, I think, like we've mentioned, Florida is a great album. Yeah. Fruitcake, Spirometer Soup, they're great albums. I was really into Buffett when those came out, so those hold a special place as well to me.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just there's so many albums, man. I it's hard to know, but I mean, if I had to say my favorite, it probably is A1A. And it is. When I read the news, I'd woken up real early that morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I just went back out on my deck, grabbed my little Bluetooth speaker, fired up the fire pit because it was like it wasn't even 6 in the morning
55 degrees, yeah.
And I was I put on a pot of coffee and I just went out there and listened to Buff for like an hour and a half. You know, I mean, it was, and A1A is what I started with. I mean, it's my go-to.
The same, Anthony. When we did this a while back, we picked top albums, and we did this back on May 8th of 2022, and I had my top five. Records did not include A1A because we told each other you can't pick A1A because we know, you know what I mean? We said that, and my list, it has since changed. When I think about it, this is my list from 2022: White Sport Coat, Havana, Changes, Volcano, and One Particular Harbor.
Those are all great albums.
I would dare say I might actually move up Fruitcakes to that maybe and move one down. And I don't know if I'm ready to move Florida's up yet, but that is another fantastic record that I just never gave credit to. You were talking, there's a hidden somewhere in China. That's somewhere over China. That's a hidden gem, guys. That's got some great tunes on it as well.
I feel like Coconut Telegraph is
Coconut Telegraph's
gem.
Another
I love that album, man. It's got some great songs on it, really. There's beginning to end, there's not a bad one, man.
It's just so much music out there that, and this could change, and I know it does with Anthony regularly. It's hard to pick. It really, with his catalog, it's truly hard to pick something that really stands out. And I think the only reason, one of the main reasons I pick A1A as my favorite is because that was my first, it was like my hook, line, and sinker. It's the thing that grabbed me, and it just kept me forever. I think that's why I feel that way so strongly about that album. But all these other ones are so interchangeable on this marvelous collection of music that we had. And like you said, Chris, that trilogy in the 90s that I grew into and loved, and it became part of me for darn near 8 years of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at somebody that basically, between the three of us, we saw pretty much every show in the Carolinas, at least y'all did, from 94 up. I saw it from 95 up. So just about every show in the Carolinas we went to, guys.
Yeah.
For the better part of a half a decade, for 7 years. For 7 years, you guys basically did it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Like I told you guys, I think Florida Days is my number one. It's followed closely by Fruitcakes because of what Fruitcakes means to me. But
yeah, so good. So good, man. I remember getting that Fruitcakes CD. If you guys remember, when you opened up that thing, it has like a huge booklet. That one had a huge booklet with all these crazy pictures of just various things throughout the years, you know, parrot heads and things like that. It was so, so good. So, so good.
I do remember that. And if you look at the Spotify, like their page, that album cover, it's almost like a little booklet. It's got little pictures of different.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't even know who all the people are.
Fruitcakes.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think I put Florida's that my daughter just walked in.
That's okay, man.
She knows she doesn't have a snack till like 9:30 at least, and that's usually snack time. And I'm like, why are you wanting a snack now? You had breakfast like an hour ago, for God's sakes. But Florida's, man. When I look at that album, you've got Florida's has become one of those songs that might be in my top five of Buffett songs by now. I absolutely love and adore that song. And then you've got Criolla on there. You got Never Working This Business Again. You got like the perfect You got Jimmy's funny, you got Jimmy's soft, you got Jimmy's middle, you got all of it in one album. No Playing on Sunday, which is a mantra I try to live by every day, is, you know, just can't do a damn thing about it. Just make the best of a bad situation and just move on. And that's what he was, and that's what he is to me, you know, and that's why I love that album so much. And When the Coast is Clear is on there too, which
If It All Falls Down, that's such a good song.
Oh my God. You know, I love going to the beach in the wintertime when the coast is clear, because you really do get a lot more magic at that time. And
man, that album is the album cover, Anthony, is absolutely the image in my mind of JB.
Yeah.
Him, the wind blowing through his hair.
Mustache.
The mustache is there.
Because the mustache is gone on the next album.
The A1A album cover to me is just like, it's perfect. He's sitting there under like a
Key West picture, right?
Got a Michelob beside him.
Exact, man. It's just like perfect. That right there is what you under want out of a vacation.
A rocket
that you probably can't get anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the thing, unless you just find some crazy place that nobody ever goes, which is damn near impossible.
Like Key West, I mean, is not what it used to be, according to everybody. You know, it's definitely changed a lot since then. So, but when he was in 75, it was a different place. It wasn't nearly as popular. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was basically a bunch of trailer parks.
I know. So, anyways, it's getting close to now. We should probably wrap it up soon. I know we don't have like a logical finish to this, but we probably should.
It's a typical podcast, is it?
No, it's not the typical one, guys. And
did you have any other questions, Anthony, or was it just the main?
No, you know, we kind of talked about favorite concert experiences, and I think we all probably agree that our favorite place to see him was probably Walnut Creek. We all had a lot of great memories at Walnut Creek seeing him there live. Charlotte wasn't bad, from what I remember. I think, did we get to see him in Bristow at one point in time? I don't know if I did or not.
I never made the Bristow road trip.
I don't think I did either. I think it was Iron Maiden I saw at Bristow.
Yeah, we saw Iron Maiden in Dream Theater there many years ago, Anthony. Many years ago.
So I think this one, Knoxville and Charlotte, the only places I saw him beyond. That's it. And Walnut Creek, man, is the place to see Jimmy Buffett.
We saw him in Greensboro, too, one time.
We did see him in Greensboro. Show. We did see him in there. But indoors is good, but different. Outdoors.
Not the same, is it?
It's not the same.
It's different, it's outdoors.
So. Yeah, I agree 100%. That's one that... It's weird. Certain shows are meant to be seen indoors. Certain shows are meant to be seen outdoors. Metallica, meant to be seen indoors. I don't want to see them in an amphitheater. Buffett, you don't want to be enclosed. You want the beautiful... I mean, assuming you have nice weather. Even still. I mean, whatever. Okay, yeah. But...
We got hit with.
Certain shows, man, you just want them to be outside on a beautiful summer night, and that's what Buffett's always going to be to me. I mean, that's at its core, really. So,
anyways, I do want to put out there, though, that songlinesandtanlines@gmail.com, if anybody wants to put their Buffett stuff out there. We have the Audible Ecstasy podcast@gmail.com, mm-hmm. too. That we can also, you can send stuff to there too. If you just listen to this one and don't listen to mine and want to talk about some JB, you know, we don't get a lot of comments, which is fine. I don't do it for the comments or the love. I do it more to cover the passion of his music more than anything, and just want to share it. You know, like I said yesterday, all I saw was Margaritaville this, Cheeseburger this. And the reason why I started the Deep Cuts podcast, so it initially was the Deep Cuts, it's kind of morphed. Was because I got
it initially was songs you don't know by heart, which by heart. Yeah. Is amazing.
In theory, he did have that out long before that was released. Just saying.
Anthony did. You're right.
That's what it was initially called. But it was just a highlight. I got so tired of everybody like, oh, the cheeseburger.
It's a great name. Great name for that podcast, man. It was the perfect name, honestly.
I mean, because when you dig into his catalog, man, there's so many songs that I think I told a guy at church, I doubt they'll ever play it, but the song they could play the song in church, Breathe In, Breathe Out, Move On. So I told one of the music leaders at our church, I saw him, I said, hey, you know a song by Buffett you ought to play is Breathe In, Breathe Out, Move On. It's perfect for a church environment because it's about the Hurricane Katrina, but it's about resilience and taking that breath when something happens and then pushing forward through it. And, you know, there's songs like that in Buffett's career that, you know, he covered a song called Pacing the Cage years ago about, you know, he has songs beyond just the party life, and I want people to know that it's okay to party to Buffett, but let's all think about the other stuff too. He was a great songwriter. I mean, Dylan called him a great songwriter. He said "A Pyre Looks at 40" is one of the greatest songs he'd ever heard. Or
can't argue that, like that point.
You know, and that's Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan and Joan Baez covered a freaking Jimmy Buffett song. That says a lot about who he was as singer songwriter and everything. You know,
you can't argue it, man.
Wow. But at the same time, you know, I mean, he gave into that lifestyle, and I don't blame him. If it was selling for me, I would make sure I hammered it home too. I would beat that nail so hard that it would go through the floor. I promise you that much.
He was a billionaire because of that lifestyle. I mean, you're right, man.
If one of my stories was taken off like that, I would beat the living crap out of that story. It would be so played out. It would be ridiculous. And I would do it on purpose because I know that's what sells, and I don't blame him for doing it at all. So, but
man,
you know, Jimmy, I am going to try and close out this thing with my, what I wrote on Instagram yesterday. I'm gonna let you guys give your little summary. And I want to try and do my damnedest to close out with a half a paragraph if I can get through it today. So it seems like I was telling you yesterday, it seems so strange to bust out in tears for somebody I never knew. But at the same time, I feel like I knew him personally. It's such a weird feeling to have.
He's probably the only
that
person like that, really. It's not that's unique to him. That's what it boils
down
to.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I lost somebody from Def Leppard or Metallica, you know, I'd be very sad. But I don't know if I would shed. I don't know if I would shed the same kind of tears as I would with Buffett. There's something about he found that part of me that few artists ever do. And I say I can't do it right now. It really touched that part of me. But I can't believe I don't even know the guy, and I'm crying over him. It's messing with my head right now, man.
Don't worry about it, Anthony. It's a natural response. It's somebody that you loved him.
So I'll give my final little thoughts. Jimmy was the kind of guy who he felt like an average Joe who just followed his dream and succeeded, and kind of put that mind into everybody's. You know, he's kind of a dreamer who chased his dreams and captured them. And I think we all there's a part of all of us who want that, you know what I mean? And we saw this guy who did it and succeeded. So I don't know. It's something that's hard to put your finger on about him, but I think that's part of it right there. Just the fact that the guy was a dreamer who just said, all right, I'm going to make this happen. And, you know, moved to Key West out of Nashville with probably $100 in his pocket. I mean, he didn't have a pot to piss in, didn't care. He just went and grinded and made it happen and made music for 50 plus years that we all love. And he was, like I said, he was kind of like the soundtrack of our lives in the 20s partially. So I'll be forever grateful for that. And, I'll probably listen to his music until I die. So, I mean, he left that legacy for us, for his fans. I mean, I'm sure that's the biggest thing he could have done. And just hopping on that mower yesterday and listening to that live album, it's amazing what kind of mood that puts you in once you're finished. Cause like it takes you right back to being 22 years old and two beers in your hand, dancing to Mañana, you know, I mean, it does. It's a great memory, and he's responsible for that. So it's about all I got to say. He will be missed in my mind. Jimmy, what you got?
Man, this is the first thing I wrote down yesterday when I started thinking about it was, the Pirate King has sailed off. That's the first thing I wrote down. I literally wrote that down. I'm going to say this. I have so many memories from my 20s. Jimmy Buffett was my 20s. Not necessarily that specific lifestyle, because I didn't beach it every year, but I did go to the beach a lot during my 20s. I drank a ton of Coronas. I drank a ton of everything. I'm just going to be honest with you. And the only reason why I drank Corona was because of him. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong. Look, we all go through it. I get it. I basically spent every summer for almost a fifth of my life following that man through the Carolinas and Georgia. So many fond memories. You know, there's one person who I would have loved to have on here that I didn't even think about until just now. I'd like to have Jason Griffin. Do you remember? He went to a couple of shows with us, Chris, way back, you know, of course, when I was working at the rec center at the time. I wonder what he's thinking right now, because he actually was a huge Buffett fan as well. He just, you know, he didn't wear the clothes. You know, he just lived a free life, drinking and having a good time. I have the memory of you going nuts on the Manana song in 95, Chris. I never will forget it.
Wasn't the only time I went nuts on that song.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't, but you literally turned around to us and your eyes were just huge as soon as you started playing it. And as alcohol induced as I was then, I remember it because you almost started crying, dude. It was awesome. It was because you were belting it out as loud as you could. We all were. That's one of the memories that comes back to me every time I think about seeing Buffett. I remember you doing that. I remember standing in those long ass lines trying to get a T-shirt, talking to random people, talking to not just girls,
because
I was
young
at the time. Yeah, it was like a whole family. They were
all
there.
You can't not make friends at a Buffett show. Yeah, everybody around you has the same mindset, man.
On that note, I remember there was a time where something happened with the tickets, and we couldn't get them, or something happened. I forgot. Something happened, and everybody was still in a decent mood or a good mood, even with this calamity going on. And I was thinking, what other fan base could actually kind of be kind of chill about this in a situation like this? You know, a Guns N' Roses fan base wouldn't be that way. You know, I'm just saying. I was thinking about that at the time, that just the positivity the man gave us is that even in a situation like that, I'm sure there were a few getting upset, but the majority of people around me were not. We were just hanging in there and riding out the storm until it got fixed or whatever, you know. And I don't mean to cut you off, Jimmy.
No.
I was trying to let everybody have their own little spiel, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
It's welcome, because this is honestly, this is you, brother. As much as he meant to me, it's just a fraction of what he meant to you. And, you know, I moved away from his lifestyle as I became a dad and stuff like that, and really didn't even contemplate. Years ago, I did contemplate seeing a couple of shows and just never carried through with it. And then thankfully last year on a whim, we were trying to make that happen. And basically, I think Chris, you just basically asked G if she wanted to go. And, I told Chris, I was like, you want to go see Buffett? This may be the last chance we could see him.
You brought it up, and I'm glad you did, because honestly, it was just like, I was on the fence.
I know you were. I know you were.
But I'm glad I did, because man, that was a tremendous show. And like I say, like I knew when it was over, I was like, it's the last time I'll ever see him. So I'm really glad we went.
Yeah. God, man. The last thing I'm going to say is thank you, because without him, my 20s might have been different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would have changed anything for the world. Man, rest in paradise, my friend. Rest in paradise. All right, Anthony, see if you can close us out.
Okay. Jimmy, Chris, once I finish, just go ahead and start playing the song I was going to play, and we'll just close it out like that. So
I don't have it on the soundboard. I'm just going to have to.
You don't have it on the soundboard. Okay.
That's
okay.
Fair enough.
We'll just stop it after this, but I might have to stop it anyways. But like I said, anybody really wants to reach out and talk. I know when I was listening to the Something for Nothing podcast, when Neil Peart passed away, they had just everybody write in and email in and find us on Instagram. And, you know, I'm a Parrothead Dad on Instagram. You guys, Audible Ecstasy. Is it podcast on Instagram?
Audible Ecstasy podcast on Instagram.
Is that on Twitter too, the same?
Same thing.
My Twitter's is different. It's like at Zombie Beach or something. I just didn't change all those things. Sure. But you can find it in the show notes for everything I do. But songlinesandtanlines@gmail.com, audibleecstasypodcast@gmail.com. Just reach out if you want. You don't have to. I get it. Like I said, we don't get a lot of comments, but that's fine. But if anybody wants to just speak, give us some favorite memories, favorite moments, favorite whatever. Did you met Jimmy at any point in time? Did you get on one of his planes? Did you get on one of his boats? Did you sail for him? I mean, just did you see him in a small bar? Just anything like that would be fun to hear. But, you know, I wrote on Instagram, this is what I wrote yesterday, and I think I'm just going to kind of end the podcast here. I can't put it into words what Buffett meant to me. his life, his songs, his books are all in my DNA. He will forever be there. His music will live on. Rest in peace, Jimmy. Sail on, sailor.
No, he was just a poet who lived before his time. He was just a poet who lived before his time. As for Gamble Rogers, good night. See you on the beach.